Blog Talk Radio.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
We are all beautiful, stunning, glowing, enlightened diamonds in the sky, aren't we? Tonight in the sky, July 11th, 2013, during a very intense, emotional Mercury retrograde, y'all, wouldn't you say? Welcome to Greater Good Ministries and the My Beauty Angel program, My Beauty Angel, in association with blogtalkradio.com. We're so grateful to have you all listening tonight. We have an awesome special guest, and she is one of a kind. She's a real treat, just one of the best astrologers on the planet, and a master moon messenger, I think, is a really great word for her, Joni Ross. Joni Ross is going to be taking some calls. I don't think she'll be able to answer any questions. You'll have to contact her. She may be able to answer one question, but I don't know that she'll do it with your birth date and time tonight. That's up to her. I'll have to ask her about that. So I don't want to make any promises to y'all, but our call-in number tonight is 347-237-5339. And let me see if I have her here with us first before we get started with the show tonight.
Hi.
Joni, is that you?
Yes, it's me, Audrey.
Oh,
hi.
Great. Hi, Joni. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to put you on hold real quick. We're going to come back.
Sure.
I just wanted to make sure because Mercury is causing some interesting. We just had some thunder and lightning going on, too. And Cindy didn't even make it, and I'm hoping she's okay. And maybe her wires got crossed tonight. So she'll maybe if she dials in, great. If not, I'm sure you and I will just get the message across. I'm sure you'll have plenty to talk about.
I hope she does. I know.
I hope she's okay. Okay, let me put you back on hold, and then I want to do a proper introduction. All right, thank you. I'm so grateful that Joni is here with us because we were having some issues with Skype. So thank you all the listeners that are out there in the worldwide internet blog world with us. We really appreciate you tuning in to the My Beauty Angel Show and supporting Greater Good Ministries and Blog Talk Radio. Let me tell you a little bit about Joni Ross, being one of the best astrologers, teachers, and intuitives I know, and also who I consider a personal friend to me, a real dear new friend of mine as well. Joni is, here's one of her favorite quotes by Dane Rudyard. Astrology is a language. If you understand this language, the sky speaks to you. Isn't that beautiful? I love it when the sky speaks to me. I don't know about you, but I love taking my walks and looking up to the sky in the daytime or the evening when the stars are out and talk to the moon and the stars and our solar system and be grateful, you know, and let them twinkle back at us. Okay, so Joni says, your birth chart is a blueprint for this lifetime, shining light on your path and providing direction so you can achieve success and personal fulfillment. Emotional healing and freedom from conditioning are the very heart of our spiritual journeys. Astrology can help free us from our conditioning. It can help us become aware of what has been unconscious and help us live in harmony with our true higher purpose, our soul mission, our soul vision. Internationally acclaimed astrologer Joni Ross is a native New Yorker who now lives in beautiful Delray Beach, Florida, where she has a very busy practice, private practice. An astrologer for more than 20 years, Joni is sought after consultant, teacher, author, and speaker. Joni is author of Moon Messages. She does beautiful moon messages on her Facebook page, and I would encourage you to visit her Facebook page. And it's Joni, J-O-N-I, Ross, R-O-S-S, Astrologer on Facebook to find Joni there. And you can also send her a message to book a private astrology consultation, you know, based on your particular time of birth and your birth date. So she can be very precise and, you know, exacting and precise with what she does and analyzing your birth chart. Joni is valued by her clients, students, and colleagues as an extraordinarily gifted astrologer, tarot reader, and numerologist, and is remarkably astute observer of the human condition. Her searing insights coupled with her innate compassion make her a mesmerizing, exhilarating, and inspiring teacher and speaker. And she is. When you hear Joni's voice, you will know what I mean by exhilarating, and she's also a singer too. I don't know if she wanted me to tell you that. That's one of her secrets, a beautiful jazz vocalist, and I still want to hear her music, and I'm going to give her a hard time until I want to hear her music. She has a beautiful, sultry, silky, sexy, sensual voice, typical of a Scorpio, y'all, right? Because Joni's a Scorpio. And I love Scorpios because I'm a Capricorn, so we love the Scorps. But anyways, as long as they don't bite us, we love them. She's an eagle. She's not the. She's a very highly evolved. Joni is a highly evolved Scorpio. We've got the other ones that aren't that need to just work on some of their evolution to get to the eagle status. So, I'm not sure where Cindy, my co-host, is, but I'm hoping she's well and not caught up in a storm. She's actually from Peoria, Chicago, and I hope it may be a weather issue. Her power could be out. You know, things are happening with Mercury in retrograde. You know, Joni will shed some moonlight on it for us tonight because we sure need it because it's been one heck of a ride I've experienced. I had a no-show and a business call today with one of my business contracts that I was proposing, a total no-show. You know, not to go in shock or be too surprised by it, right, because Mercury's in retrograde. So I am, it's my pleasure and my honor and gratitude to bring my friend Joni Ross, one of the best astrologers, and I say that because I've had a couple readings from her and she's amazing. So I trust her with my birth date and time, okay? So without further ado, let's bring on Joni Ross. Joni? Hang on a second. Joni, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, welcome, my friend.
Oh, thank you. What an introduction.
Well,
she's the eagle, not
about
the other kind. Yeah.
How are you tonight in Florida? How's Florida treating you?
Really a nice evening in Florida.
Oh, isn't it?
Yeah, I've completely just taken the decision to really get something from this Mercury retrograde period and do the self-reflection, and I'm really coming up with a lot of dignity and happiness to do the work I do, and I'm just very happy to be here in the world, and it's kind of a benefit to have this little vacation today to really reflect. It's nice. And to be with you guys, and you especially, Audrey.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? I think Cindy's peeking in. I think she made
Wonderful.
It in. Let me see.
Great.
I see her. Oh, hold on just a moment. Cindy, is that you?
Hi, sweetie. It sure
did
is.
You
I
make
apologize.
It?
I did. I'm just so sorry.
That's gracious. Okay. We were missing you. We were like, where's Cindy?
Oh, gracious. I know it.
Mercury's in retrograde, so
that's
why
it
is
it
getting. Yeah, but better late than never. We're so happy you could join us.
Thank you.
And Cindy is my co-host here of the My Beauty Angel Show, and she's a wonderful, fabulous author of a healing book on Amazon.com called To Feel is to Heal. In order to heal, we must
feel and not numb our feelings. I'll just let it go with that because I want to get back to Joni. So, Joni, can we start over a little bit? Do you mind?
No, not at all. Hi, Cindy.
Hi,
so
sweetie.
Glad you're here.
Oh, I am too. My sincere apologies. I'm eager to learn about you.
Thank you. Me too. About you. Starting over in terms of what I was talking about, the Mercury in retrograde.
Wherever you want to start.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I do want to say, you know, to feel, to heal. You know, this is the perfect time because when Mercury is in retrograde in Cancer, we can make that mind-heart connection, and this is essential because our intention is everything, isn't it? And it is a very good time, even though there's a lot of snafus with all the things that are kind of controlled by electricity and communication devices, et cetera, which we all kind of know and go, oh, my God, it's Mercury retrograde. That part, yes, but the part of how much we can reflect and have a kind of a deeper intake of what our wisdom is sharing with us. And just allow that polarity shift to happen and really talk to yourself right now. And I was telling Audrey and everyone that I really did that today, and I just feel so grateful.
Oh, yes. You know what? I got to say something, too, real quick here. I have been in tears. Well, my moon is in Cancer, and you knew that, Joni, because you've got my copy of my birth data on your system, I'm sure. But it's hard to keep track of everybody, I'm sure. But my moon's in Cancer, and I don't know about Cindy. I'd like to have her feedback as well. But I've been purging. I've been having tears come out just easily and effortlessly. Tears for me, for memories, or tears for other people and what they've been going through, like just so easy, like just a lot of tears almost every day. It's been very emotional.
Yes. Yes, and do you think, Joni, too, it's that Jupiter, which is expansion, has come into Cancer and is going to be there for a whole year. So
absolutely.
Everybody's, yes, emotions are going to come up to the surface, and they're not going to be able to deny them or repress them any longer. Thank the Lord, because when that energy finally leaves us, we're vibrating from a much higher frequency.
You know, yes, and also the expression of the heart is just essential for us to feel whole. And I think, especially the moon in Cancer, I mean, the way that you introduced me, I know some of that was on some flyer that I had been giving to people to give them an idea how I work, but just your ad-libbing and your loving, loving introduction is so indicative of the moon in Cancer and how you nurture people. And, you know, sometimes nurturing, you get full with things, and crying is a way of releasing. I think it is good.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's not just Jupiter that has gone into Cancer. It's the black moon Lilith. So there's, on this cardinal axis, we're having emotion.
Oh.
All kinds. Deep, deep things that we don't necessarily have to translate. So if it's coming out and it's being released, the world needs it right now.
Oh,
we
yes.
all need to express feelings, right?
Oh, absolutely. And when you think, it isn't just our experiences and all the lives we've ever lived. Down the DNA line, all of our great-great-great-great-grandparents
yes.
and mothers, of course they repressed this stuff in order to be successful and effective in the world, because that's how they were taught. So finally now, with ascension energies and having to let go of the past, part of that past isn't just a mental concept. It's the physical frequency of sorrow that we died with and reincarnated with again, because it never got to escape. So we've all got lots of clearing to do, because we've got the DNA behind us clearing to do.
Yes. And also the clearing and the honoring of all of those ancestors and all of our, whatever created our DNA, which is the life force, is it's all honored by the joy that comes from releasing the tears and then smiling again. Right?
Exactly.
It's honoring, the even the sadness becomes delighted.
Exactly. It's bringing love. You know, we've always known love was the answer. Well, where aren't we loving? We've gone lifetimes not loving our anger, not loving our sorrow and our fear.
Mm-hmm.
And when you love something, you're with it. And I love this anger, so I'm just going to privately go be with it. Or I love these tears, and I'm going to, you know, be with them. And in the willingness to unite with them, of course, we become more whole and clear for the families behind us.
Beautiful, Cindy. I was really looking forward to hearing what you said last time. I was almost on, or I was on for a minute.
Oh,
I didn't get that opportunity. That's a beautiful thing you said, to honor the tears, you know, to really love it.
Mm.
Yeah, so, and you can, and having the moon in Cancer, Audrey, you can cry, right?
Oh, gosh.
You don't run out of water.
I feel people, yeah. You know, just to give an example here, and I don't want to get too dramatic with people on the, you know, I don't want to, you know, try to make anyone else cry, but I already shed my tears. But just to give a case in point is those three women that were taken captive, you know, what, Amanda Berry and the other two, Michelle Knight and the other gal, Jennifer, I believe her name was. Anyways, to see them come on television and even say one or two words, I lost it. I absolutely lost it. Shocked that they're even on TV to begin with, that anybody would even expect for them after what they've been through.
What courage, yes.
Courage.
Beautiful.
And then
beautiful.
My love and compassion towards them for what they have been through, and my prayer for justice for them, and just to see how they can have a face. I'm just speechless. I mean, that's just one example of seeing some ordeals in the television media or news that have been, like, have caused me to just lose it, you know, crying a lot, you know, releasing for them, you know.
Yes.
And don't we do that through movies or through the news or anywhere? Someone's story is so similar to our story, but when we're in the safety of them telling about it, it brings up our own sorrow about our similar experiences. So the more we, and that's probably one of the reasons for story going way back to the campfire, where it's safer to hear someone else's retelling of it. It's too hard for us to go to that space. But if someone else tells a story that's similar to ours, then there's the freedom and the liberation. I'm safe now. Someone else is with me. I can let go of this sorrow.
Ah, beautiful, yes. Well, we all reverberate on some level together. And also, we're living the archetypes that we all understand. And I think the purpose is to grow. And I don't know why that story has to happen. But it obviously has an impact on all women that feel captured sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all get freed when someone's freed.
Yes.
Or like women that have been objectified or sexualized or abused, or just only looked at for their physical, you know, type of situation, and not to be looked at for their anything else beyond the outside, the outer shell. I think that can be devastating to some people. I myself have been through that devastation. You know, where you just looked upon as just a pretty exterior, and there's probably not much else in there because they're so wrapped up in the outer side or seduction of it that they could care less. You know, it's such a sick, horrible, you know, it's just not a good thing. It's just not good.
Yeah, well, there's some basic real confusion about who we are as humans. But and we can't say it's only men, because women or anyone that lusts and does and objectifies and wants to possess or whatever, but the women have to evolve and have the courage to come forward.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I am not destroyed by anything you do.
Oh,
and
yes,
I'm here.
Like these women did. Oh my gosh.
Beautiful.
Wow. I admire them so much.
Great.
Oh my God, so much strength. But now, I'm curious Joni, what is happening for the remaining of July with all this watery planetary? Can you give us some moon messages for the rest of July and maybe a...
Well, I haven't really formed a total moon message, but we did begin the lunar cycle on July 8th with the moon in Cancer. And we're just talking about all this energy of the sign of Cancer, which is a cardinal sign, and it has to do with mother, family, feelings, intuition, nourishment, creation. It has to do with such a basic core of the whole feminine existence, which we all have. And, you know, the planets Saturn and Neptune have been making a beautiful harmonious aspect. We all know about the challenge. There's lots of difficult aspects that are in the outer planets, and these are affecting the whole year. And so a lot of people are having quite a year, and good for us because we're going to grow. But, you know, everyone's going to get through it, and it's going to get better again in many ways. But this trine that's going to happen between Jupiter and Neptune and Saturn. This is a focused spiritual energy available to all of us.
Really? And when does this occur?
Well, actually, I was thinking it's going to happen, and actually, it might be just happening. Let me just.
Oh.
So you know, these things are not the permission we have to enact what's going on for us. This is just energy that's flowing. So even though it's exact this day and not this day, but the energy just approaching, you can imagine the kind of magnetic energy that's coming from these big objects we call planets affecting the energy we feel. Even if it's not exact, it's happening now. It's already happening. As soon as Jupiter went into the sign of Cancer, it's connected. And Jupiter in Gemini was a bit of an info overload for lots of people. And I think people's heads got a little, like, explosive. And now
was
that Jupiter's in Cancer, we process the emotions. What, Dawn?
Was this a few days ago or last week? Because I felt some crazy.
When Jupiter went into Cancer?
Yeah, right.
Okay, let me get up my timetables because I want to be
correct. How long
correct.
Is Jupiter going to be in Cancer, Joni?
I think about a year.
It takes about a year, right?
That's the benevolent. Jupiter is the good fortune and benevolent, right?
Well, yes, it's good fortune, but you don't want to have too much Jupiter if you have a tumor you're trying to shrink. You don't want to have too much Jupiter when your ego's already big enough. You don't want to have too much Jupiter when you're at a buffet and the pastries are great. So Jupiter's really not... It's really the energy that expands things. It's also a cultural expression of what do we believe? How do we... You know, how do we conduct ourselves based on our beliefs, our faith? So in that sense, wherever Jupiter is in our charts, is how we connect to our society. So sometimes Jupiter is how we adapt to our society. So there's many things to talk about in terms of Jupiter. But on a, you know, the more, really, Jupiter is a benefic planet because it's about freedom and expression and growth. And truth. So if you're a Jupiterian person, and I would say I'm probably one of those because I am Sagittarius rising, most Scorpios are a little more reserved, but being Sagittarius rising, I am a Jupiterian, and I believe in let's talk about it, let's get there, let's grow, let's learn, and I'm, in that sense, Jupiter is great. Does Jupiter actually give you your benefit? This depends on your belief system. I think it's a flow of energy that expands everything. I don't think in terms of it gives us the benefit. However, when you are in a situation in your life where you really need that confidence and where you really need to allow yourself to trust, Jupiter really is the influx of this. So in that sense, you know, why are people lucky? Because they believe they are. That's how I see it, and I'm not saying that's how every astrologer would describe Jupiter. I mean, Jupiter is the great benefic, so you're right. It is the great benefic.
It's a self-fulfilling, it reminds me of self-fulfilling prophecy in Napoleon Hill, like what we are what we think about most and what we set our intention on, you know, set our intention on and manifestation.
Well, too much Jupiter in someone's chart and not enough Saturn to give it a focus is a person that is all over the place and doesn't really get anything done sometimes. So Jupiter and Saturn work together because Saturn has to do with the boundaries and the foundations and the structure of things and the effort it takes to build. So with Jupiter and Saturn together, we have society. And within our own life, we have our individual personal experience, which really is, you know, of course, the sun and moon and Mercury, Venus and Mars. And that's all so important, how we perceive ourselves and everything we like and all these things. And then how do we connect to the world that we came to in the time period we came? This is important. And when Jupiter is really on an angle or it's conjunct or together with another of your personal planets, it's a big influence. It's a big planet. And do you want to say something, Cindy?
No, I just find it fascinating.
Oh, okay. I love Jupiter. Obviously, I love Jupiter, you know. But again, without Saturn to give us some kind of focus, how can we channel all that truth? Because the openness that you can have with a strong Jupiter is unlimited, as you know, and I can certainly tell that the two of you are so spiritually gifted people because you really understand what you're doing here on the show is making people feel hope, and this is the epitome of Jupiter. In fact, it would be interesting to look at the beginning of your show, the first show, and see where Jupiter was.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very, yeah, because Jupiter might have been a very strong player in this whole purpose of your show. And hopefully...
And bringing Jupiter brought Cindy and I together. I'm sure Jupiter had a play in it, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it was her book that brought me to her, to Cindy. It was the healing. And then reading her book and then healing, and then boom, all of a sudden, maybe Jupiter said, okay, Cindy needs to be your co-host on this show. It's a perfect, you know, it's a perfect match. So that's kind of how it all started with us together, you know.
And I think the book is very Jupiter in the sense that it's opening us. It's asking us to go into those closed, tight places, those constricted, repressed places, and open up. And yes, but it is, you're right, it's got to be balanced with the and because it is, it's hard work, it's a challenge, it's a discipline to daily open up. It takes some rigorous focus to find a, you know, to change the paradigm inside your mind and let yourself daily release.
Absolutely.
We've gone so many
it's
lifetimes.
Good work and it's hard work, yes. But you don't say, things you don't say to people that have a strong Jupiter is diet or budget. You say good dietary plan and, you know, money plan. You don't say you don't want to, the problem with someone who's really so open is someone constricting you. So Jupiterians are, you know, we do need to substantiate some of the things. I feel that way myself. I'm talking, I know how I feel, and sometimes people say, I'm not sure what you're talking about. And so if I do that tonight at all, please ask me to clarify because I am so Jupiterian. I'm so happy to be with you two girls and all of the listeners, of course. So anyway, the Jupiter's great, and of course Neptune and Saturn in the water signs, because all the water energy is about emotions, feelings. This is the work that the water does. I mean, especially Cancer. The Cancer type energy of water is the kind of water that will form rock, form the rock foundation. You know, the whole river will be formed by this moving water. It's really great. I mean, life is about movement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Cancer is about change and affecting things and activity. So this is really an opportunity for all of us right now with this flow of water to clean up some of the old issues that we do not have to take with us mm-hmm. anymore. We can free ourselves. Right, Cindy? I mean, the whole point
Absolutely.
Of healing is freedom.
Absolutely, because, and I think it's the time has come, as we've in all the lives we've ever lived, except for a few cultures like the Tibetans and the Native Americans, most cultures that we lived in were very repressive of the emotional body. But the time has come now, as we leave the third dimension to go to the fifth dimension, to walk through the fourth dimension, and that's where the emotional body is. And we can't arrive at our completeness, which is in the fifth dimension, heaven here on earth, until we've traversed the fourth. So getting tools and sharing with one another and finding a buddy and using this year really to the optimum of letting these waters that have been incarnating time and time again, saying, oh, gee, when do I finally get to leave? When do I finally get to go out? Because whatever we die at, whatever is not processed, we have to reincarnate at that same frequency. So to
right.
take say this is the year I'm going to clean out my not only myself but all my forebears, and it's what a gift I'm giving to them.
Yes.
And, yes, just let it flow.
Yes. So crying for women that are freed from their captivity and have to endure sharing such taboo subject matter in the
mm-hmm.
sense that everyone knows this is the justice, Jupiter, of women,
and we all
win when we see women stand up, and or anyone that is enduring this kind of delusion of victimization and the actual victimization. Because if we don't think we can change, we are stuck in a pattern where we won't. Like you said, Cindy, this is the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the planetary energy is also changing in terms
mm-hmm.
of how the energy is going. So the planets are, I don't believe the planets control us in any way, but we are in sync with this available energy to transform, heal, and expand what we're capable of. And I think that emotions are amazing, but if someone is overly emotional, it really does affect their forward thinking. If it's harder to
mm-hmm.
think forwardly.
Yes.
Right, Cindy, do you agree with
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely, and that's why I say this is a private process. You know, you
mm-hmm.
move these emotions out privately, and then you mm-hmm. go, and that's where the Saturn comes in. Then you focus yourself, and you think about the highest. So, like, don't waste time in between. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't be in that middle ground of being depressed. It's just a lost opportunity. If you're either flushing and clearing out, or you've cleared it out, then you go back to the most positive, optimistic expectation.
Mm-hmm. And the way we do it is so individualized, which is why I really love astrology so much, because there really is, everyone is unique in their horoscope. And, of course, where you tend to stay after you're born, where you travel through the earth and where you make your homes will affect how your horoscope is too. So we have so many things that affect how we develop, including the choice we made to be with the parents we have, the choice we have. You know, you can look at someone's chart, and I won't tell you I know you, but I can talk about the energy, and I can talk about some of these archetypical, I guess you'd call them missions, that people want to go through in a lifetime. And then when it resonates, you honor the knowing of yourself. And I think this is what I always wanted. It's probably why I really started studying astrology, to understand why wasn't I the way somebody seemed to think I should be? And why was I so stubborn of not being that way because they wanted it, even though I do love people? And I think going to an astrologist, good in that respect, it's a very helpful thing to feel centered about who you are, because we all will do this healing in the way that is effective for ourselves. And I love that you said it's a private matter, Saturn. I love that you said that, because Saturn does represent the parts of us that can be insecure, and it is in our time and how we work at it that we can evolve where our Saturn is. So I love that you said that. That was kind of...
Oh, good, because it is. It's a challenge, and we all have it. But just to embrace it, take it within, own it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel like a victim. Oh, poor me. It's like a fine teacher. You know, they've proven that the teachers who were kind of the strictest, not strictest, but the firmest with kids, expecting their best, they were the ones that kids would come back and most often gravitate to and thank them. Thank you for the discipline you gave me. Thank you for the rigorousness and the high expectation. And that's the. And if we welcome and say, okay, here's my adversity coming. The only thing that can come to me is me. So it's a facet of me, not outside myself, that is saying, oh, you can do better than this or choose again. And if we welcome that, the hard line rather than the soft line or the open line or the closed place or the come on back, you know, come back on, let's talk about this again. If we can breathe in and out and do that inhalation and exhalation in a balanced way all day, yes, I think we can arrive at that wholeness.
Yes, absolutely. And because, you know, we see Jupiter and Saturn as so separate, maybe not everyone that's listening is astrologically minded. After all, what Dane Rudjar said about astrology being a language you do have to learn, it's true. You do need to understand the basic symbolism, which I'm always happy to give people some idea of how the lunation is in their horoscope and how they might begin to understand things. But when you understand that Jupiter and Saturn are the issues of society and that we are all trying to be, we're souls in an incarnation, so we're trying to adapt our soul's purpose, our own challenges, our personal growth, our karma, however you want to refer to this, in and also fit in to what the world is. Many things that are wrong with people are just cultural problems.
Right.
And we are, you know, and each one of us having a victory affects our culture in a victory for the culture. Our victory is our ancestors' victory, but it's also our whole world's victory. I mean, that's the way I see the kind of the revolutioning of the suffering into mission or how you can inspire others.
I absolutely agree that it's on the other side of, you know, the throat chakras, Vishuddha, which means to purify. And when we move all these sounds out of us that we've reincarnated over and over with and purify the body, then our mission, our purpose, because people say, oh, well, you know so clearly what you're here to do and how do I find that? I think the simplest way to find it is to move out all those facets of your past that really aren't you. They don't really, you took them on as a blessing and it's great and they are. Nothing is not you. But when you let go of things that no longer serve you, they served you at some point in your life, beliefs or limitations. And when you let that out in the form of emotions, because they all have an emotion tied to them, then it becomes patently clear, oh, this is what I love to do. This is what I'm here to accomplish.
Yes, beautiful. Yeah, because, you know, if you think about this, the solar energy in our charts is the individuation or the soul's or the individual purpose. But the moon is the survival and kind of the ego in the sense that it's how it feels to be yourself. So if you know, sometimes the emotions, if the emotions aren't good, the moon is saying, no, you're healing. No, you're not going out till you finish your lunch. But, Mom, everything's my friends won't like. No.
The moon
makes us do this emotional work
because
it's about, it's the true essence of, like you said, love is everything. And loving the self is the real key to victory. Once you learn how to love yourself, then you can go out there believing in yourself and win. And any kind of external defeat is not your defeat. It's just the pattern of how it is to win. And because when you believe in yourself, so if your mother believed in you, then you are way ahead of the game. And but again, culturally, et cetera, complications, we all go through kind of like a little, what is it, a little bandana over our vision about what things mean. and we just struggle through it as if we don't know. But at some point we'll realize, oh, wow, I needed to go through that.
Hey, Joni,
I can't imagine what you went through, Cindy, to make you so wise and smart and kind of far out.
Well, just briefly, and then I think Audrey has a question.
Yeah.
But just briefly, I think I incarnated this time knowing I wanted to be an actor, and they couldn't shut me up. I mean, I was expressive from the beginning. I mean, everything, that I was just drama queen. But genuinely and authentically, I didn't know how to repress, so I'm sure it was a challenge for my parents growing up. But it later was useful when the book came through, because the only thing I'm good at is feeling. So I guess
that's
what
great.
I have to offer.
I'm sure that's absolutely not accurate, but I think that's a great...
She's
it's
very
great,
humble.
Yeah.
Well, my sister might disagree and say, oh, you were a pain. But that's just because she was a big sister and was more reserved, and I was very quick to have something to say about something or to be emotional. And that, I think, was what was rare. And I was lucky because my parents really supported me in what I wanted to do. That's where I was very fortunate. But, Audrey, did you have a question?
Well, we have a caller, and it's actually a friend of mine, and he's a Scorpio, too, and he's an eagle, too.
Oh, nice.
Yes, and I didn't know if you were going to take
Well, you know, I have a radio
without...
show on a radio show on Saturdays that? Under the moon, and I do take callers, and I've been finding it really great. So I'm very open to doing the caller if he wants to give me birth time or he wants to ask a question, either one.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you. Let's go ahead and bring Joe Ray from the beautiful area of Arkansas. It's beautiful because he's there surrounded by all his crystals. I call him the Crystal King Joe from Atlantis. He's
wonderful.
Welcome to my Beauty Angel Show, Scorpio Joe.
Hello, ladies. How are y'all doing tonight?
Great.
Nice to hear from you again.
Great to meet with y'all.
Yay.
Definitely. We all love crystals. And you have those healer crystals down in Arkansas, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I've got some in my room back out back that I dug myself. Oh, yes. I've got some.
Wow. I have some also. But I never had that kind of experience to go in my backyard. That must be amazing.
No, it's great. It's great to go out and be able to dig anytime you want to. It's amazing. It's just fun. But yes, I am a Scorpio, and I was.
Do you
want
to tell me your birthday, Joe?
October 28th, 1955.
Isn't that Isn't that Bill Gates' birthday? Mm-hmm. I think it is. What year you
said? 1955.
I think it's his birthday. Are you a multi-billionaire?
No, I wish.
No, but he might be the 27th or the 29th because I'm not remembering so much. But, you know, I'm born 3 days before you, so we are I probably know a lot of your chart without even – I know a lot of things about your chart. Because as an astrologer, you look at your own chart an awful lot. What do you know what time you're born?
It was around 3 o'clock or 3:30 in the afternoon.
Okay. And you know we were born in the year of the sheep, which means that you are a natural advisor, a bit of a mystic naturally. It's a good feel. What do you do with the crystals? Are you doing healings? Are you selling them? What do you do?
Actually, I really give more away than I sell. I'm not a good business person. But yes, I actually have a dowsing tool that I made that I use double terminated quartz crystal points that I made into the dowsing tool. And then
I
love to share the crystals and. I've found probably the world's greatest record keeper, crystal record keeper there is, and I'll be showing that to the world pretty soon, as soon as I get pictures of it taken.
Great.
Wonderful. Oh, crystals are amazing, amazing substances. They're just They have their energy and they help us. It's amazing, right? Where were you born? What are you born in Arkansas?
Born in Linwood, California.
Okay.
A suburb of Los Angeles.
Okay. p.m., right?
Right.
Okay. There we go. All right.
Yeah, my mom
was
in
Mercury in retrograde right now, so have to double check, everyone. That's the thing about Mercury retrograde. Just go over things a couple of times. Make sure you didn't miss it, crossing a T or put the wrong decade or something like that.
Oh.
Okay, so this is very interesting already, looking at your chart, talking about the moon. You're an Aries, right? Did you know this? Do you know your chart already, Joe?
Do I know what?
Have you had your horoscope done?
Never actually. I've studied it and stuff, but I've never actually had anybody give me a reading on it or anything.
Okay,
no.
Okay. Well, you know that you're Aries rising, and Aries definitely has to do with minerals, metals. Not so much minerals, but metals, and also direct initiative energy. And your moon is in the sign of Aries, and it's right on your ascendant. So your intuition and you sense things all by yourself. You don't need a lot of instruction. You really can live in your heart and your instincts, and that's probably a wonderful thing that other people get to experience around you. Of course, if you don't like something, people know this too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then being a Scorpio is ruled by Pluto, no demotion to something insignificant here. I wouldn't say that at all. But also, Mars is the co-ruler of Scorpio. So you're a bit of a Martian. And this means that you have passion to offer and that you have a lot of energy. And so when, you know, I know with the crystals, you program those energies. And also in the house of Scorpio, you have Venus, which is the magnetic energy that we get from the sun and how it's configured in your chart in this very deep emotional sign of Scorpio, conjunct or together, fusing, well, it's not very tight, but it's pretty close to Saturn in Scorpio, which is your mission. It's what you've promised to accomplish. So this work that you're doing seems very resonant to me because you're not casually doing merchandising. No way. This is about really implanting the helping of people to process these deep emotions within them. And I think this is a very, very interesting thing that you're doing with your chart. And then because you're such a Martian, let's just talk about your Mars for a moment. In the sign of Libra, in the house of Libra. So maybe you do have a bit of a temper if it's sort of one of those emotional days and somebody really is rude or wrong or whatever, but basically you just really want to communicate and you want to know how the person hears, and your language is very respectful to their understanding. Am I right about that?
Yep.
Because this Libra house is about cooperation and really seeing things in terms of both perspectives. So it also makes you a very good debater on the different ways to look at everything, really, right?
Exactly. Well, I mean, there's lots of ways to look at everything.
Because
I look
right.
at everything through the eyes of a child. I try to, because you know, once you get grown, your mind's polluted and you just can't, you know, you're taught everything's impossible and you can't do stuff. Through the eyes of a kid, you know, everything's possible.
So you live in your inhibition as much as you can, right?
Exactly.
Which is very, very courageous for a deep, deep Scorpio like you. And also, that month when both of us were born, it's so nice that I'm having this kind of affinity. I like that very much. Neptune was almost to the sign of Scorpio. So even though it's not really a direct connection like it is in my chart, really closer, it's there. So again, this is not just the intuition on a simply emotional level. It's an intuition on an ethereal level, on a transcendental level, on the spiritual, you know, you are a bit of a channel for a spiritual energy. So I know that you giving yourself up to the playful child innocence of I'm not going to be egocentric, I'm just going to be unafraid, or maybe you could call that naive, which is not the way a Scorpio generally likes to view themselves. But because you're such a special person, you could have been a billionaire instead, but instead you're choosing to have happiness on a very profound level, I'm thinking, right?
Yep.
Because, I mean, isn't really, that worth billions, Audrey?
That's money
to
me
priceless.
Really,
priceless.
Money to me isn't everything. I mean, that's, you know, there's more to life than money. I mean, I can go make money if I actually need to. I mean, you know what I mean? But, you know, that's not my driving factor.
Right, right.
It's definitely not.
Right. And then, you know, Joe, I would love to email you a copy of your horoscope with maybe just a bit about the lunation, if you like, because no one can see, but all the planets in your chart are on the Western Hemisphere, and just the moon is on the ascendant. And they're really kind of close together, so this tells me you're a bit of a specialist, but also you're about the other people. You really love, right? Am I saying this correctly? Tell me if I'm not right, but I don't think I have to be right about this, but it looks to me like you really love the relationship with the others and who they are and what they need. And, you know, you really like humanity, don't you?
Yeah, because I usually put everybody before me.
Aww.
Well, that's how you learn about your own compassion. That's how you learn about your own. Of course, we all have to have a balance. And if you don't think that's working for you, sometimes you're entitled to make changes. But if you have the kind of strength that it looks like from your chart you have, I don't think you're losing anything. I think you gain, right?
Yep. Oh, I gain every day because it's just giving out love and, you know, helping who I can and doing what I can for everybody. It's, you know, that's what it's all about.
Beautiful. And I want to say one more thing before we... Audrey, do we have other callers
right now? We have another Joey Spiritual. I promised him I'd take his call after Joe's.
So I'm just going to say one more thing, if you don't mind, Joe. But if you can get in touch with my... You can go to Facebook or my website, which is JoniRossAstrologer.com. I'll send you this.
Okay.
You know, if you just get to me on Facebook, if you like, because I want you to look at it from what I just said, and you can listen to the podcast and hear. Also, you have the goddess Pallas Athena at the top of your chart, which also indicates that you're here to keep the quality of life developing. Really, Pallas Athena was about wisdom and truth and... was also the god of, was the one daughter of Zeus that was born from his head. So it's a high-mindedness. I mean, no pun intended. But that's something nice in your chart, too, that really talks about the importance of your work. So I really commend you and wish you the best in this deep work you're doing with those crystals. I know the power of those healing crystals because I used to do a lot of crystal meditation.
Beautiful. Joe, you're a sparkling diamond. You're a beauty. We love you. And you can find Joni on Facebook at J-O-N-I Ross, R-O-S-S, Astrologer. And you can make her your friend as well. And, you know, it's interesting that the Joes and the Jonies are sparkling tonight. We have Joe,
that's
Joni.
Right.
We have Joni, we have
and the Cindy,
Joe,
and
Crystal
Cindy and Audrey
and Joey.
Are really sparkly all the time. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Calm me down here. Okay, so, well, my Mercury is in Sag, and you know that too, Joni. So that's where the fire comes out of me. Otherwise, I'd be reserved too as a Capricorn. I'd be real boring. It's that Sag that gets our fire going, right?
I just want to say I really find Capricorns the funniest people. So they're never boring to me. I like Capricorns.
Slapstick
so much.
Funny. Lucille Ball funny, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Cindy? What is your birthday?
July 23rd.
Okay. So we're Cancer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we're talking about, I mean, it's no wonder that you wrote that book.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So do we have Joe yet? Or is
Yeah,
Joe...
we'll take Joey, and then if you want to stay on a couple more minutes over, we can take Cindy.
Okay.
If you want.
Great.
Before we leave, that way I think Cindy's probably curious too. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So Joey, spiritual, we're going to take him. Oh, he's telling me he's also a Reiki master too. Love it, love it. Healer,
me
healer.
Too, I love it.
And he's a Gemini. So let's welcome our Gemini Joey tonight, sparkling in the sky with us on the My Beauty Angel Show, and Joni Ross. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Joey.
How's it going?
How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm just preparing myself. My mom went to yoga, so I'm preparing for her to come back, and my friend's mom will be getting a healing for me. So I'm preparing for that, which is going to be really difficult because she just lost her son 2 months ago. So, you know, I'm going in there and just breaking down that emotion. So that's going to be really rough. But, I'm a Gemini, obviously, ruled by the air, so, you know.
What's your birthday, Joey?
June 3rd, 89.
June 3rd, okay. Are those your chimes?
Chimes?
I'm hearing somebody's chimes. They're beautiful.
Yeah, we have them in the backyard.
Sounds
and
great.
Windows open.
How wonderful for this woman, Joey. How wonderful for her to come and have someone give her this kind of work that you do.
Yeah,
and,
it's pretty
it's beautiful.
Powerful.
Mm-hmm. So do you know what time you were born?
We looked at the birth certificate, and honestly, it doesn't say.
Okay. So when we don't know what time someone's born, we put noon because that's when the sun is up at the top of the, right above us. So this is a solar chart we're going to do. And what place were you born?
Brooklyn. I was born in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Okay. Yeah. If anybody can't tell, I'm a New Yorker. I don't know. You guys can tell.
I moved to New York after. You know, I'm currently living in New York now, but I was born in Brooklyn, and then we just moved down to Staten Island, so, you know.
Staten Island, I hope you were okay from Sandy over there.
Yeah, that was pretty hectic, but, you know, we trooped through it, and for 4 weeks I was volunteering, Hurricane Relief, met up with Kristen Spears, worked with him for a couple days.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I think that, you know, one thing I want to say about your chart, just looking, we aren't going to know your ascendant unless you know what time you're born. But if you were born in Brooklyn in 1989, if you call the Hall of Records in New York City, they will give you the long form of your birth certificate, and the time should be on there.
Okay.
So and you can get in touch with me for a copy of your horoscope and a couple of words. And, of course, you can always have an appointment if that's something you would be interested in. I know Geminis are the curious of all the people.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. And your chart is very interesting, and you really fit into the show tonight, Joey, because you were born right before the new moon. So when you were born, the moon was conjunct the sun. So even though you're a Gemini, the moon and the sun are resonant with this emotion. You know, you're a very emotion, you're a perceiver through your senses. And
yeah.
Gemini is the Mercury sign, and Mercury has to do with the electricity that and the electrical impulse that we get from the solar energy and how those polarities go through our nervous system. So our nervous systems are very activated when we have the moon and the sun in Gemini, and you also have Jupiter and Venus in Gemini. So I think Audrey mentioned that you were a Reiki master, and that that's the work you're going to be doing tonight. And what is Reiki but sensing the invisible energy that's running through things? And Mercury and
No, it's just going. It's, you know, it's life force in the other term.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that one first part of the
sentence. In other terms, Reiki is life force.
Life force, yes, yes.
Yeah, so.
But somehow when we, you know, as beings, when we're born, wherever our Mercury is, that is how we take all the life information that's coming through the force, and we abstract what we need to understand, what makes sense for our life. So Geminis are, you know, they have a very developed conscious thought process. But with your moon and Jupiter, which is, Jupiter is about spiritual, the desire for spiritual development, and the moon, you know, I'm sure that you have, you're quite a powerful worker. Quite a powerful worker.
A little too powerful sometimes.
Well, that's interesting that you're saying that. You know, you have time now to really discover in what way to use the energy. Because right now, Mercury, and I'll just talk about your Mercury in a second, because it's essential to talk to a Gemini about their Mercury, because this really will clarify much of what they want to do in their life and who they really are. And when you were born, your Mercury was retrograde. The Mercury is retrograde as it is right now. So when you have Mercury in retrograde, and your Mercury is in the sign of Taurus, which means it's not all about words for you. Even though we're talking, oh, Geminis, they're fast talkers, they know everything, blah, 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 and they do, they can talk themselves. But in your case, because your Mercury is in Taurus, what matters to you is value, beauty, peace, things that are very reality, you know, just what is life really supposed to be about? Pleasure, love, enjoyment, value. And when you have Mercury retrograde at birth, you naturally have the type of mind that will be introspective. So we're talking about a fairly introspective sign like Taurus, not so heady, in an introspective polarity. So at some point, your Mercury could have gone direct by progression, but, you know, just naturally, you're a real inner world communicator. And this also will really fuel that profession that you have. And you're relating to what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You, I mean, you know that you have a way of focusing that some Geminis just don't get that deep depth that you're able to have. Even though I'm sure you don't, you said, it was funny because you said, oh, I'm going to be with this woman and she just lost her son. And I was thinking to myself, what a treasure to be in that moment. And you're saying, oh, it's going to be so hard. Yeah, of course, it's a very difficult thing to help people with grief. But being a Scorpio as I am, and also being 57 years old as I am, that would be an honor. And I wouldn't be afraid of that at all. I would not be thinking it's too hard, because that's where I like to go when I deal with people. However, your age, your Gemini stuff, yeah, it could be hard, but all I can say is you already know you're a channel. So you don't have to absorb it all for yourself. Well, you know, you learn that as a Reiki master, right?
Yeah, and I've been getting messages of the best way to go about this.
Good. But you are doing something very beautiful for another person.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, beautiful.
Definitely in alignment with the emotional moon, too.
The moon is in Virgo, I think, by now. So this is a very good time for doing a healing. So all the best to you. Like I said, you can get in touch if you want to have a copy of your horoscope.
Definitely. I sent a friend request to you on Facebook just now.
Oh, great. Okay. Wonderful. I'll certainly accept.
Joni Ross Astrologer. Yes, J-O-N-I Ross, R-O-S-S Astrologer. Joni Ross Astrologer on Facebook. And thank you, Joey, so much for coming and sharing your energy, your beautiful soul tonight on the show.
Thank you.
And bless you.
Bye,
dear.
Joey. Take care.
Okay, bye, Joey. Okay, I'll put you back on hold, dear. Okay. So now it looks like we have gone off the air into 4 minutes, and so it's okay if anyone else is listening. There could be people listening when we're in overtime, just so you know they can hear us. But Joni, would you like to do the honor for Cindy and tell
oh,
her
yeah, the, sure.
give her a little spotlight on her?
Well, I'm sure, Cindy, you know, you seem to know a lot about astrology.
Oh, not much, just a smattering here and there.
Well, maybe we're going to have a really, you know, wise woman astrology workshop, and I would love to invite you to come and do it
oh,
with us.
Great.
Yeah, so we can get this stuff, we can start talking about what we already know, but somehow we can form it into communication through the astrological symbolism. So, how do you feel about talking about your birth and year and all that?
Oh, I'd love
okay?
to. I would love to know more. Yes.
Okay. So tell me your birth date.
July 23rd, 1947 at 1:13 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
In Peoria.
1:13?
Yes.
Okay. I put 14. Okay. A.m. Peoria. Is that Illinois?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So what happens when we're off the air? Does that mean that anyone called in can still hear and the other
yes,
people have been disconnected?
Anyone who's in the queue, they can still hear us, and that's okay because there's not another
And it doesn't go on the podcast. Is that what happens?
It is going on.
Okay, wonderful.
Yes.
That's
so
great. Okay.
We'll still have it on the clip. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Okay, but I won't say any bad words.
Oh, that's it. Tell the truth. I can handle it.
Okay, we have, you've done your chart. You know your Taurus rising.
Yes.
Which is the planet of value and love and survival and reality and stillness and beauty. And, of course, my beauty angel co-host. And you also have the node of the moon in Taurus retrograde on your first house cusp conjunct. And, you know, when people have the north node in the first house, they are people that have to do their own path.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful that your parents really permitted you to be who you were, but I don't think you would have stopped no matter what they did. And you know what else, Cindy? You have Mercury in retrograde natally as well, in the sign of Cancer as well. And, you know, you have your sun on the 29th degree of Cancer, which means something, doesn't it? It's like you could almost say, isn't that the 30th degree? Well, there are only 30 degrees, so what does that mean? It means I'm ready to be a Leo, damn it.
Yeah, let me express this. Give me some ability to talk about what I'm feeling.
Yeah, but, you know, having this cardinal energy is still your mission.
Huh.
And that's why acting, you could do it, but also, you know, you're here for purpose, and you really know that by now, don't you?
Yes.
Because
so we
the cardinal energies are about activating change.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I see. So you're saying the fact that it's 29th, not only am I here to do feelings, I'm here to do feelings to the max.
This is it. Because, you know, the 29th degree, you know, I've heard it explained a few ways, but, you know, it is kind of karmic because you're ready to kind of mold and melt, what is the word when the snake ticks off? It's you're ready to be the next thing, but you still are the thing you are.
Mm.
And it's a very kind of interesting and sometimes uneasy feeling, like, am I who I am supposed to be? Because I really feel like I'm something new, and yet I'm finishing up. So that's an interesting thing to be the 29th degree like that. And also, your moon sign is in the house of acting, along with Neptune. So you don't just act.
You shapeshift.
Oh, good.
You create the glamorous illusion of whatever it is. Or, well, I won't say a glamorous, but I'm going to say it certainly could be. And you could be very glamorous. But there is a, you know, like if you look at film and the way they project the meaning of things through the way the people look, how it sounds in the background, everything creates this message that wakes up what's inside us, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you have that ability, so I'm sure acting was something that you were, it's just like white on rice. Mm-hmm. And your Neptune is in the same degree as the moon in Libra. And moon in Libra is someone who believes in symmetry, mm-hmm. equity, mm-hmm. fairness, mm-hmm. is definitely a communicator and mm-hmm. definitely cares for other people. And so your ascendant is ruled by Venus and your moon is ruled by Venus. So we got to look at Venus. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're being a Cancer, we have to look at the moon. So here we go. We have to look at the moon because of your sun and your Venus and your Mercury, but then we come back to Venus. So Venus is the crux of it for you in some way. Mm-hmm. And Venus also is about love, beauty. It's not surprising in the slightest. And it's in the house of Gemini, which is communication. So it's not surprising in the slightest that here you are, able to find the language.
Yes, about the importance of loving these things that we've not loved for lifetimes.
And loving each other, and loving your brothers, sisters, fellow man, especially women.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure with
them.
Your work you have many, many women. It's interesting that we had these two beautiful men come on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very encouraged by your audience that the men came on like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, Cindy, you can really, really, really relate to women.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm right.
Oh, yes,
that.
Yes, because they have been, trained not to have their feelings. It's more accessible for them, so they're quicker. You know, you go and live in an ashram or in a spiritual group or something, that's always more women than men because it's easier for them to, because the emotional life is the spiritual life. So, yes, the majority of them, yes, uh-huh.
And then also, of course, your Mars, which is your work, is in the sign of Gemini, which is really differing to your Mercury in retrograde. So you're very unique in the way you'll choose to express your work, right? I mean, obviously, you wrote a book that really has your own take on how to kind of discern how do you be a human being and what do you do with it and how do you evolve and how do you grow, how do you heal? This is great. And your Jupiter is making an exact trine to this Mercury. So you're not limited in the sense that your thinking is conceptual and really good informational. And even though Cancer's not that much of a verbal sign, it's in the house of a verbal sign. So I'm sure when you read the book, obviously Audrey just was so taken back by the book that she chased you down. Come be in my life, please. No, come do my show with me. She's not a foolish person. She's a smart girl.
Yes. Hey, Joni, I wanted to know, Cindy is kind of curious. Can you tell by looking at her chart if any when the Venus for her love connection will transit? You know how sometimes you can look at a person's chart? Because I know she is kind of curious about that.
Okay. Well, Cindy, you're welcome to give me a call and we can talk about these kind of more intimate desires.
Yeah, okay.
But no, not because of that. I'll just say a couple of things. Because you said when, and you know, this is very interesting how an astrologer who would ordinarily be dealing with the transit points and the timing of everything, but I think that readiness is everything, mm-hmm. and Venus is all over your chart, obviously.
Okay.
So what, you know, for someone who has the North Node in the first house like that, if someone came into your life that isn't going to be respecting and aligning with your mission, mm-hmm. it's not going to make you happy. It's going to make you feel like you're going backwards. And I don't see you at this point in your life want to go backwards. So, you know, if there is, if there's an, you know, are you ready for, you feel like now you're ready for something very major in terms of a relationship? Is that what you're feeling?
I would love it. Someone to help me support this mission.
Beautiful. Okay. So, I don't, I think that, you know, it's interesting because you have the South Node in Scorpio and all these, you know, and Saturn is going through Scorpio and Saturn is going to cross your descendant. So I would say it's a very good time right now. And before it crosses your descendant, it's going to cross your Jupiter, which is affiliated with your descendant as well. You can have partnerships, but not that you can't. I'm not, there's no real but. I don't mean the word but in the sense that I'm just trying to separate my thought. It has to be someone that will support your mission. You're absolutely right. And sometimes younger men are, unless they want to learn and they're really seeking, tend to be intimidated by a woman with a mission as strong as yours and the force of your energy, because you're being honest. It's strong, and I can't keep apologizing because you're not. Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and also because your Mercury, because your Moon and Neptune are conjunct like that, you know, you can easily attract someone who has a bit of a broken wing. And that's not what you're looking for, is it?
No, I need a rock underneath.
You want a strong guy. So yeah, if you're really ready, and with all this, with Saturn going through these, you know, making aspects to all these planets, and I think it's a good time to really look for someone to be a committed partner with. I think it really is. And maybe that's not the issue you think, but I'm looking, but I've been looking, you know, one of my, but
no,
I
haven't
think,
been actually. It's just only good, recently okay. kind of.
Yeah, because I mean that seems almost like ridiculous to say to some people when they just are really developed and they're really ready, and we're the ready and interesting, wonderful men. That's why you're doing the work.
Yeah.
So men can catch up to some of the women on these love levels. So yeah, I think this is a great time for you to really say, I am attracting to me someone who's really deserves to have his capacity expanded and isn't jealous, is appreciative, and brings everything he has because I give what I give. And that's it. You know, it's like you don't have to make it complicated and know it's going to happen. But with Saturn, it is about taking steps as well. You know, if you live out in the wilderness, you're not going to find too many guys without a gun. So, I'm not trying to insult, you know, any of those people either, even though I'm not like wanting to hang out with.
That's true.
Right. So yeah, I think it's a really good time now to think about it. You know, it's interesting because of your Moon in Libra too, and being Taurus rising, but more because of the Moon in Libra. You really do want this kind of, especially because it's conjunct Neptune the way it is, you really have this sense of a divine love. And unless the person can come a little closer to this kind of really unconditional feeling that you're capable of or that you believe that exists, like the love of God or however your orientation is, the universe, which is my orientation, I think that that's why you can attract someone who just needs you. But if you find someone who has the capacity to love life, and you're getting closer, without a spiritual connection, I don't think the commitment really feels joyful, right?
Absolutely. The marriage to God has to be first. And
So, yeah, I'm describing what you totally knew already. I'm not telling you anything, but... But it's in your chart, Cindy. It's really in your chart that you're going the right path for you, and don't ever doubt it. And, you know, Linus, a lioness, you know, you're going to be a Leo, maybe next incarnation. I don't know if that even is anyway close to true. But let's say at the 29th degree, like, but I think I was supposed to be a Leo. Well, you should have waited an extra day to come. No, you should have waited an extra 2 hours, you know. But anyway, you know, the Leo walks their path, or the lion walks their path, and their mate just comes up right beside them walking the same path. So you don't have to worry. But the commitment to work on love with an actual human that really probably isn't quite as developed as you in this way, but is developed in terms of his own spirituality or whatever else, it's going to be fine, right?
Oh,
you're not expecting it to be a woman, right? You want a man. So I think, this is a really good time for you to have that manifest within your own life work. You know, the cooperative relationship where you're secure enough that you won't go off path. Mm. Because I think this is very common with nodes there. Mm. Other lifetimes you married and married and married and married and married.
That's
and then this lifetime you're like, please, I have to find out what I need to do. I can't be the support system and behind the scenes. And I can't just be altered because of cooperation. And so there's a little bit of a paradox here because of those two kinds of symbolisms.
Yes.
Which you accept. It's not hard for you. You understand this about yourself, right?
No, I think that's why it took me till I was 66 to realize, now I think I might think I'd like to have a partner. I really haven't wanted one till now because I just...
Oh, that's so interesting. Wow, that's great. I mean, that's interesting that you're actually having that story based on what I was thinking would be advice. Because you say this to someone when they're 25.
Right.
And they look at you like, are you kidding? But it's really good advice. Don't worry about the partner. Let the partner come when you're so secure in your path that they can't make you feel like you're in somebody else's life. And now you're ready because you can.
Absolutely. And I think very early on I was fortunate to recognize that, you know, everything is you. And when I lived in an ashram, you know, that thou art. And so I had to find that partner inside myself. And it took me all those years to, you know, in fact, I would do a ceremony every June where I would marry myself and pledge to, you know, be there for me and honor me. And so I had to find that balance and that groundedness, you know, that Libra inside myself. And now I think it's firmly entrenched enough in there then that he can appear because I'm not, I know that I have it inside me, and so he too will have both that marriage of male and female inside himself.
Ah, okay, that'll be interesting. I want to hear.
Yeah.
When it happens.
Yeah.
Don't you, Audrey? Oh, Audrey will be celebrating. I can see her picking out her tiara for the wedding.
Yes.
One of your many, many.
Love it.
You can have an hour and 20 minutes. That's wonderful.
Wow. Well, we've taken a lot of your time, my dear. We've taken a lot of your time.
It's been a pleasure. It's been such a delightful pleasure to talk to both of you. I really know Audrey pretty well, but you...
Oh, gosh, yes, I've enjoyed this. And, yes, I would love to be part of that thing you do because my understanding of metaphysics, if I could, because I think astrology fits so nicely into the overview of metaphysics and universal laws and, you know, there's only us out there. And when we can see the chart from the understanding of how I is an optical illusion, that it's really all us that we're talking to, then we can look at all these facets without any judgment, welcoming all of the various colors and hues that play into this tapestry of our wholeness.
Yes. Well put, well put.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Joni. And once I'm situated, I leave in 2 weeks for Arizona to make my move.
How wonderful.
I'm so excited.
Good luck with your journey.
Thank you. And I remember all the good stuff in our reading, too, when we had our private. That was awesome and so inspiring and kind of removed those fear barriers that I had, you know, some of the fears that I had as well. So just things are in divine order, but and would love to have you again on the show and
Well, you can also, if you like, why don't you both come on my show sometime?
Oh, absolutely.
We'd love to.
Mm-hmm. Under the Moon. Well, you called in once, Audrey. That was fun.
I know. I just, the timing on this, it seems like lately I've been gone.
I moved to 6 o'clock.
Oh, did you? Oh, great.
I moved to 6 o'clock on Saturdays.
Is that Eastern or Central, or what time
Eastern.
Is that?
Eastern.
Okay, 6 Eastern, so that's going to be 5 Central. Well, that's still better. That's still a lot better because it was like during the day Aaron time for me. You know what I mean? I was missing it. I was kept missing it. Oh, I missed Tony's show again every time I said that, you know. Mm-hmm. So that is awesome. Yes, we want to.
So, Cindy, if you can friend me on Facebook, we can keep in touch about...
Oh, my dear, I'm one of these bizarre people, and I think it's because of the work...
You're not a Facebook person.
Well,
she's not.
I'm the final bastion of let us at all costs preserve this precious audible vibration of the soul, which is the voice. So
mm-hmm.
I do kind of... yes, and if you like to do voice, I love doing voice anytime.
Well... I think you can tell I like to do voice.
Oh, yeah.
I would love
yeah, that. I love to talk, too. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful, delightful, transformative experience, a good dialogue. Love
yes.
it.
And, you know, I think it's a bath. I mean, our cells, it is the audible vibration of the soul. So I get to be in the presence of your soul when you talk. And my cells are just buzzing and going, ooh, I like this massage, this bubble bath, this wonderful experience of being in the presence of this person. So I think it's a healing when we speak our voice, especially, you know, with words of the healing that we were given, experienced. And so, yes, I would love to be part of that more.
Okay, so we'll keep in touch via Audrey, and if you want to call me, you're certainly always welcome. I don't know.
I would love to.
Anyway, thank you, girls, so much for having me.
Thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
So
we'll be in touch, Tony.
Okay, take care.
Wonderful messages. Love you so much.
Thanks.